Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and holy shit, Metroid Prime 4 is real! And with me, I have...
Please help, it's very hot out here and I don't like it one damn bit. So I'm melting out here!
And...
Hey, we got a lot of drinks.
I could use a drink right now. I only have strawberries and cream Dr. Pepper on hand, though. And I guess maybe water, but that's all the way on the other side of the room. Fuck, should have grabbed that before recording, but it's too late for that.
Yep. Yes. Stay awesome, bitch.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure I need to worry about hydration, because goddamn, it's been raining like a bitch for the past week or so. Well... I think it's kind of slowed down now, but, like, God, so much rain.
Yeah, this is me. Rain has been pretty, like, it's rained a lot since here, but either way, it's been hot as hell. And I think that most of my Ocean Spray stuff, I drink cranberry juice, or at least the one with all the flavor, like grape cran. Raspberry cran.
No something. Judgment here. Diet cranberry is my shit.
I don't know nearly enough about the cran beverages to opine. Maybe if I got a longboard and had some Fleetwood Mac in the background. But we're not here to talk about stuff that's viral on TikTok. Yet. That'll come later. But stick a pin in that for now. And here we are on episode 356. So, how's everyone's week been going?
Well, as I mentioned, it's been hot. Very, very hot. Like, over 95 degrees hot for the last 4 days and counting. Not fun. Not fun in the slightest. Summer used to be so much fun when you were younger. You could do all sorts of fun things. Now you're just hoping that your AC unit doesn't die.
Don't remind me.
Yeah, it's always true. As a kid of summer, whee! Summer's an adult. Help! We're dying.
It's terrible, and I don't like it. So it's, aside from the usual shenanigans of the week, I think I'll just lump this in here because, y'all see any good concerts last week?
Do tell.
Oh, God. So, yeah. Kendrick Lamar did a thing with some of his friends. Yeah. It was live on Amazon Prime Video because I guess they were the ones who went in on it. And, you had all sorts of cool guys showing up. You had Schoolboy Q show up. You had DJ Mustard, J-Rock. It was a fun time. Then the main event happened. You know it was going to be big when he started with Euphoria, did the Like That verse, and closed with Not Like Us. Not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, but five times!
My God!
That's a lot of Not Like Us. And that one out of is going to be like certainly filming it.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be fun. But, it was a very, very good set. Had a little bit of everything in there. And we had Dr. Dre show up, because why not? Oh, God, yeah. I was watching that. I watched that whole thing live as it happened on Wednesday night, and it's just... I'm just the kid in The Simpsons. Stop! He's already dead! But then part of me goes, yes! Yes!
Oh, man, this is some good concert.
When you have 17,000 people screaming out the line, certified lover boy, certified pedophile, your career is so deep in the mud, it's basically trapped in quicksand. Yeah. But don't worry about Drake. He's doing all right. He has... Those features on that Camille Cabello album. God, that album's going to suck so bad. Oh, I'm not looking forward to that. I mean, anybody. Although I will say, I am looking forward to the reviews of it. Come on, Fantano. It has to be perfectly balanced. You know what to do.
And why are they going to do another cover of that? What's that shitty?
That shitty indie song. Let's not talk about that cover. It was a terrible mistake. But yeah, I will hear the pop from the opening do-do-do-do-do-do-do of Like That for the rest of my life. That pop was massive. They knew what was coming, and they were all in on it.
God damn.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
I will say, I want to add one more thing to the whole Kendrick concert thing. You know it's good when he did the whole strip pop level stuff, when he do what different camera angles, he goes to a different shot, like it's a fucking anime, like it's beautiful, man. I know some people missed that. I want to say, I don't know if Amazon Prime has it, an archive or somebody just put the shit on YouTube. I don't know.
If you look hard enough, you'll find it.
Yes, sir. My usual routine. Well, let's see. I work a lot. That's it. Not much has happened. It's still hot.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Fair enough. As for me, not much, although I did meet up my high school best friend for lunch for the first time in a while, and for the first time in fucking forever, I ate at an Outback Steakhouse. I should have gotten a bigger steak.
I went there once. It was just okay.
I didn't mind it. But yeah, that was a pretty nice outing. Well, aside from all the, Nintendo Direct hype, my god, those magnificent bastards. Yeah, that's pretty much about it. But now we have to move on to the usual business, which of course starts with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for, well, whatever we have here. We only have like 5 songs total. Not a lot happening, but you'll see as we go on. So, starting right here at the top, I'm blanking on if we've talked about them before, but there's a music duo from Baltimore called Ed Schrader's Music Beat, kind of a art rock, art punk kind of thing. They have a decent bit of material out there, but you probably know them if you've watched a decent amount of Adult Swim. Specifically, I was introduced to them in the New Now episode of Off the Air. They also had music featured in Unedited Footage of a Bear and The Cry of Man, which are both specials that come courtesy of the Wham City Comedy Collective. Wow, I could have phrased that better, but you know what I mean. So if you watch a lot of that stuff, you've probably heard like one or two things from them. But now they have a new album announced for September 20th called Orchestra Hits, and a new single here called Daylight Commander, and god, the vocals sound weird as fuck here. This is kind of like, I guess, some kind of shift over into relatively more like college indie rock, aside from the kind of art punk stuff that I know they kind of used to do in the past. But like, man, something is just like not right here. Like, maybe it's the synths that sound super cheap. Like, I don't know, maybe this is like a $20 bargain at like some knockoff music store you never heard of. And the vocals, like, they sound like Randy Newman. Am I wrong here? Like, it's that exact kind of flow and corniness, just, I don't know, this isn't really that good.
Yeah, I'm not sure that putting RGB lighting in your car with plants is considered street legal, but what do I know? I don't follow car stuff. Not yet, anyway.
Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, I guess at some point recently, I missed this somehow, but there's a new Dark Tranquility album coming out later this year. End Time Signals, due out August 16th. And I bring that up because this is apparently like the third single that we're talking about here. Well, the first that we're talking about, but the third released overall. So the song is called Not Nothing, and it kind of veers back and forth between like two, like the main verse and chorus ideas, because like the verses kind of have like a lot of very like straightforward metal grooves and all, but then once you get into the actual chorus, like more of the keyboards and the guitar melodies shift into that kind of familiar Swedish melodic death territory, maintaining those kind of aesthetics appropriately. Overall, it's pretty typical Dark Tranquillity. There's not much you need me to explain about it if you haven't heard these guys before, or if you have heard these guys before, because, like, they're pretty standard or reliable. It's a solid enough song.
Yeah, this is some damn fine mellow death here. It's a bit stripped back with its slower groove, but I kind of like it like that. It's got a very solid feel to it that evokes some dark, somber feelings with its tone. Sign me up for more.
Cool, cool. Now, moving on to the next track here. Gonna throw this one over to Mr. Alex. So, what can you tell us about the latest from the general proximity of Dream Theater?
Well, the new album is still on the way. They're still working on it, while also planning out tour dates. Please come to America next year, guys. I'm begging you. Don't let all the European fans have the fun. All the South American fans and all the fans in Argentina who probably can't afford anything anymore anyway, but, you know, whatever. The album's still on the way. And we also have a new Jordan Rudess solo album coming out called Permission to Fly, out on September 6th. And we have the first track here from it, The Alchemist. And it has just about everything you'd expect from a synth-heavy prog track. And no, Mark, it is not The Alchemist O'Clock. Do not ask me to put your hand down. Different alchemists. So yeah, for this, noting here, the lyrics on this album and this track are all penned by Jordan's eldest daughter Ariana, with a theme of, quote, the tumultuous events of 2023 and 24, with motifs of peace and anti-violence woven throughout many of the songs. So take that however you want. As for the track itself, yeah, it's prog for prog lovers. Not as heavy as I would expect it to be. It's a little bit softer in tone, a lot more piano-heavy toward the back end. Also, the video is kind of basic performance grade in a way. Not much to it. It's just a lot of performances and green screening. It's all right. And when the hi there, Darby Todd on drums, I can't wait to hear you on that Devin Townsend Power Nerd project when that's ready, whenever it's ready.
Ah, the many Devin Townsend projects on the way. But yeah, this definitely does feel like exactly the kind of song you would expect as like a prog keyboard showcase. Although I gotta ask, what the fuck is that singer's outfit, though?
It's kind of overly theatrical prog, something like you expect from, I don't know, Seventh Wonder or any other power metal kind of band.
Like, what gets me is the tie thing. Like, he's got the Doug Walker thing going on.
Let's not invoke that name here.
Yeah, Oni. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, we're still waiting for that next Fever 333 album to materialize after the entire, you know, thing that happened. But we now have the latest single from this group here called New West Order. And, you know, I'm not going to mince words here. This might be the worst Fever 333 song. Like, it is just not good. Like, first of all, what is this beat? And yes, I say beat, as in it is very, very synthetic with no actual, like, band element to it. Like, you see the music video trying to convince you that there's a backing band playing here. Nah, that's bullshit. That is a lie. And there's just not any real bite to the instrumentation, which kind of undersells the lyrics, which themselves are already kind of hacky. Like, they're very much like, you know, this kind of autobiographical, oh, I was a weird kid growing up who repped the worlds of, like, hip-hop and metal. I have a rough life, I had jail time, paved my way into the world of music, and now we're hot shit, which... Okay, I feel like if you're trying to make this work, you need at least, like, 3 albums under your belt to be bragging on this type of level. Especially with how the second verse has, like, kind of cringe lines like, gain strength in numbers, get it, from the faith of others, now we Grammy-nominated Envy of the Scene. And then there's one line here, which is, I'm not sure it's the worst line in the song, but it's definitely the most telling. Yeah, I lost a couple homies. Jealousy's a bitch. Motherfuckers all mad knowing I won't quit. Are you trying to tell us something, Butler? Is this a Freudian slip?
I will say this, Mr. Jason. You are not Swerve Strickland. If you don't know, don't worry. It makes sense in context. I do have to ask, what's the focus for this whole thing going to be going forward? Because it really does feel like a lot of the more post-hardcore tendencies are just being shifted and torn away for a much more dominant rap style, even a little bit of trap style. I'm not saying it's bad or anything as a stylistic shift, but it feels kind of aimless without any major landing spot to come down to, because we don't have any news on an album. We just heard, I think we've only had like 2 songs so far, and it's just, I miss the Chariot. I saw them perform live one time. One of the band members like climbed up the scaffolding of the building and just sort of launched down into the crowd to crowd surf. That was awesome. That was well worth sitting through for today to see.
Man, I was just sitting through here thinking, Butler, are we sure we can't get you to bring back Let Live? Because I kind of miss that. Yeah, honestly, this to me just kind of seems like nu metal in the bad ways. Yeah.
Well, we are in the middle of the nu metal nostalgia boom, but that can only go so far here.
Yeah. But now let's move on to the last track here. Yep, song number 5. So, just a bit of a ramp up here. So I'm pretty sure damn near every hip-hop head in the world knows the combined efforts of Eric B. and Rakim, whose discography definitely pushed hip-hop into that more lyrical and artistic territory in the late 90s. But Rakim himself hasn't had, like, that much luck with solo efforts, at least in terms of getting them out consistently. His first solo album was in 97, followed by his second at 99, and then his third came out a decade later in 2009. And now we have word of album number 4 coming 15 years later, July 26. And, oh god, what is this album title? God's Network, God being, like, you know, acronymized, G-O-D, parentheses, rebirth, with a 7 in place of the I. Is this, like, this is a fucking anime title. All you need is just re with a fucking colon and we're good.
And looking at the track list and the features on here, which there's a lot of features. I mean, it's like 7 tracks. It's like 7 tracks, which might be, but it's
yeah. Like, so for track. Context, I ran the math. The lowest amount of features on a track is, there was one song that had like 2 features, and then the highest is 7 features on a track, and pretty much every song has somewhere in between that number of features.
Yeah, and also one might have a Posthumous feature. Consider features from the late Nipsey Hussle, the late Prodigy, and the late DMX. Also the late Fred the Godson. I heard he passed away too. But yeah, there's like a whole bunch of people. You got Snoop Dogg, King, you got Cannabis, Kool G Rap, Method Man who's been everywhere a lot.
Wait, BG. I missed that part. Did you say Cannabis?
Yes, Cannabis. The rapper Cannabis.
God, I'm... Okay, brief tangent, but I recently started watching that YouTube channel FD Signifier, and I saw his video about Cannabis. So that was like, damn. I didn't even realize it was still rapping.
Okay. Anyway, the single for this one is the one with the least amount of features, just two people. It's called Be Ill, and it features Master Killer from the Wu-Tang Clan, and for the Dog Pound, and who you may know from Half Past Dead and Half Past Dead 2, Corrupt. And yes, I reference those movies because why not? As for the song itself, you're over here, you love hip hop the way you love that boom bap beat production. Well, it's there. Like you got some good bars from, Rakim, which we start with A Fashion Dripper, Cardiac, Timberland's Contest, Odd Flops, I start with Gimmickless, Average Spitter, the Spotlight Competition, Get 'em On, except basically, I'm just, just going, go for bars, which, okay, this something I can't be mad at. Like, I can get with that shit. This got the song in the zone, basically, most of the hip I should care about. Corrupt's versus. All right. To be fair, I don't really pay attention to much Corrupt. Any of the Dog Pound. I know her good shit from them. And I'm trying to remember, something from them. But yeah, all right. I thought the rest not too bad at all. And Master Killer first, and then in the office. All right, it's pretty stellar. I mean, we got what have been the experience of this year, a bunch of veteran MCs doing their thing, and I thought this was pretty cool. And given this whole mini album, EP, whatever this is, something that I might give it a shot. If album number four might be a trick.
Yeah, but although, 15 years, though.
Yes. That's a long time. He did the one thing with the Grammys hip hop celebration for 50 years last year, and apparently the Rock the Bells tour and all that stuff. Basically, yeah, a bunch of old hip hop shit going on. There's been a lot of things for us in old head, reference to come back. Him and Cool J, I'm getting somebody. I know Kofi's had an album out that I didn't rate too well. And like I said, Method Man been doing a lot of features lately. Once again, it proves that the even when you're in your 40s and 50s and still doing the thing in hip hop, you still got that shit. So yeah,
that is kind of unfortunate to know that it's been in the pipe for so long that there's three posthumous features. Okay, this is kind of a tangent, but does anybody remember it was this John Travolta, Robin Williams movie called Old Dogs?
God, don't remind me of that terrible movie.
Oh yeah,
thinking about the fact that that movie came out in 2009. And there is a moment, there is a character in that movie played by Bernie Mac, who died in 2008.
Face reminded me of that. That still fucked me up that day.
That was not supposed to be a family movie, by the way, but somebody at Disney got cold feet and went, actually, we're going to make it a family movie. It was still terrible.
Yeah. They wouldn't do shit with a Touchstone label, and look at them now.
Yeah. But now they have Fox, and they can do whatever they want. Fuck off.
I will say, at the very least, that movie led to one of my all-time favorite Spill.com reviews. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that pretty much about does it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have news, so stay tuned. And we're back. So we have three news topics to discuss here. The first being, oh, thank fucking God. So, yeah, just gonna jump right into it. So it looks like Scooter Braun has announced his retirement from artist management. Again, thank fucking God. This comes from the piece reciting as Consequence of Sound. So, yeah, his statement as reads, well, his full statement here, 23 years, that's how long I've been a music manager. 23 years ago, a 19-year-old kid started managing an artist named Kato in Atlanta, Georgia, and my journey began. Along the way, I've had so many experiences I could have never dreamt of. I've been blessed to have a Forrest Gump-like life or witnessing... Okay, I can't keep reading this after he brought up Forrest Gump. Are you kidding me, man? Yeah, so... I don't even know what the fuck he's gonna be doing now, but, like... Thank God he's not in artist management, because, like... After all the bullshit that's been, like, coming his way, especially after the whole Taylor Swift debacle, and how many, like, of his clients have been seeking out new, you know, management, like Grande, Demi Lovato, and, of course, Justin Bieber, the person that, like, gave him his big break in the industry, because trust me, it sure wasn't fucking Asher Roth, of all people.
And I blame him for another person he managed, Lil Dicky. I blame you, Scoop Braun.
Oh, so he's retired. All I got to say is, oh no. Anyway.
Oh, unfortunately, it looks like he's still working in the music industry. Said letter apparently says that he's working on being the CEO of Hybe America, H-Y-B-E, which apparently does a lot of work with K-pop acts, including BTS. Oh, God damn it.
Oh no.
Lovely.
He's going to have that BTS army money rolling in.
The tumor has been removed, but the cancer remains.
How you gotta keep them motherfuckers on him.
You know, the K-pop fandom has the opportunity to do something for the betterment of the world. I'm not sure what they would do, but y'all gotta get this guy out of here. Unless you want what happened to Taylor Swift happening to BTS.
Oh no. So basically, they didn't do a a BTS version or whoever's version.
Let's just move on.
Yeah, let's move on to the next topic here.
So, see any good YouTube videos lately?
There was a new train record. Todd in the Shadows giving us that good content. Justin Timberlake.
A long time coming. It was a long time coming.
I still remember. I think I'm the one who took the bullet for the team during that album roundup. Just having to rehear Supplies again was even worse than I was expecting. Anyway, I wonder if anything. Oh God, right, there was that new Justin Timberlake album, which I don't think anyone gave a damn about anywhere. Anyway, it looks like he's not going to be able to do any more promotion from it, because, as you all know, he got arrested for a fucking DUI in the Hamptons. Specifically, he got pulled over in a Sag Harbor, New York. Apparently, nobody was hurt, so thank God for that. And apparently, this is the first time that he's been arrested, which you could probably tell by the fact that the mugshot has become quite the fodder for shit posters online.
Not to mention the fact that the officer who arrested him apparently had no idea who he was.
I'm not sure if that's like a generational difference or if just that's how irrelevant he is.
Yes,
and apparently he's going like this. This is room tour, my world tour. You say have a tour?
What tour? The world tour. And lo and behold, a new meme was born.
Yeah, there was the tour meme. Apparently there's a video clip of Billy Joel, of all people, having takes about this. I forget who said it, but someone pointed out that, like, that whole sequence of events is like the most BoJack Horseman ass thing that's happened in real life in a while. Seriously, tell me I'm wrong.
You're not wrong.
The only thing we need is, like, I don't know, Todd getting into a scam and BoJack making things worse.
You know, it's kind of funny. You know, it's kind of funny how this whole thing happened, and then yesterday we get a train records of me. Amanda was like, okay, I know it was planning. I was like, well, I'm not gonna do shit anyway. Which, we took care of that. Wonder what other train records you might anticipate, because I know one time I said that Sam Hunt album.
I'd rather not be reminded of that album.
Me, I'm thinking, I wonder if it's too early for Chance the Rapper to do the big day, to do him on the big day, which, I mean, given how what happened to him and his wife, let's go with that. instead of a David Got New Tiny Shadows video and a new Crash Dawson video.
Huzzah. But yeah, we must await for more memes to flow from this. But in the meantime, we have our last news topic here, literally breaking today and actually giving us, thank God, something more to talk about.
And give me, well, not much of a week off, but something for mainly me to say. It's that time again, ladies and gentlemen. The XXL Freshman List 2024 this time.
Yeah.
Our annual round of who are you people? We have about 11 upcoming rappers, which we now figure out that wow, these are people born in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Or 2000s, whatever.
Oh, getting old.
One fear.
Yeah. Oh boy. Yeah. So I think there were some notes, which yeah, I did within the span of an hour or so, just looking at who's who. But yeah, first let's go to the first one I got named down. Lay Banks, singer songwriter dancer from Philly. All right, sound label AGP. Has singles like "Tell Your Girlfriend," "Na Na Na Na," "Ick," and "Left Cheek," parentheses "Doodle Blick," and no, I don't know why she needed that.
I don't want to know what that means. Continue.
And you know, I said this earlier. Take a shot every time. Guess what I go viral on? Take a guess.
TikTok.
Yep. Now apparently from what I heard, she's got music as every kind of genre you could ever think of. Although I read it says her main genres are either R&B or in Jersey Club, you know, it's something that won't open it for Master Season 2. When you think about it.
Yeah, I listened to Tell Your Girlfriend, and I feel like that would have been one of the biggest hit songs of the mid-2000s.
I remember hearing that song on a TikTok once, or at least something, I remember seeing the name of the artist, but again, I just either blank out or, yeah. Of course, recent release debut last month, which is called After 7, which... Again, that was in May, so I don't know where that came from, so yeah. Next up, we have Maya the Dawn. which is spelled, M-A-I-Y-A, which, I mean, that's a good name. So yeah, Maya the Dawn, she hails from Brooklyn. Of course, yeah, she originally was on TikTok because she would do beauty-related content, but so happened when she hit 500k followers. She has songs like Chirac and 222 to help gain some notoriety. She got a single called Tefty, that saw 100 million views on YouTube. She and fellow Brooklyn rapper Lola Brooke, who I remember was on last year's list, appeared on a remix of a Flo Milli song called Conceited. And also, right now, she was a supporting act on Flo Milli's tour. Thanks for coming, ho.
I took a listen to one of her songs, and I was just like, well, specifically, yeah, Telfy, just, eh. That's all I have to say, eh.
Okay, next up is Big X the Plug.
And he does live up to the name, because damn!
I mean, what should we judge? He hails from Dallas, Texas. Signed to a label called United Masters, which apparently Youngboy NBA owns a percentage of. Which, okay. That's a that shit. So yeah, anyway, his best known songs are either Texas, Whip It, all that shit. Like, one song, he did chart on, like, one star, chart on Billboard, date at 93, peak 65. Like, he has, you know, a lot of EPs, whatever. And of course, his debut album, Amore, was, you know, last year.
Yeah, so I listened to Texas, and, like, that's got to be the most yeehaw-ass rap song I've heard in a hot-ass minute. Like, this is as Texas as you can get on, like, a rap song. And I do appreciate the name drop of Sauce Walker, of all people.
Alright. Next up, we have Honcho. And yes, his name is spelled with an X, because, fuck it, why not? Born in North Carolina, raised in Atlanta. He signed the, 300 Entertainment.
Oh.
Remember them? You know the one label that Megaton said, yeah, give me every. You said, yeah, give me all this label right now. Like, yeah.
Good luck with that, man.
Yeah, they say that. He's gonna call Let's Get It, let remix by 21 Savage. Do inspiration from rappers like Young Thug, Future, Gucci Mane, Rich Homie Quan. Been active since 2017 with a bunch of mixtapes and EPs before releasing his debut album in March of last year. Which.
Again, my only comment on the song I heard is, eh.
Yeah. All right. Next one we got here is Skillet Baby. Yeah. Come for the choice sound to Geffen Records in 2022. Contents of rappers like T Grizzly and Solder Baby. He opened for Travis Scott on his Circus Maximus tour. And little TJ's Beat the Ops tour. He's inspired by rappers like Meek Mill and Lil Wayne, with some bitches on R&B from his father's work collection. He is known to be a bit of an activist for him doing a gun buyback event to reduce gun violence and his records and profound employment, which, okay, alright, that's something, that's okay, okay, okay. He sounds sort of level-headed in a way like that, which, alright. I can get across the tab.
That's pretty neat. I don't really have any opinions on him otherwise, though.
Alright. Got next up from the Bronx, you got Cash Cobain.
Any relation to Kurt Cobain's?
maybe not, I don't know. Okay, anyway, that was mostly trap and drill music. I recognized the name before, but not for a good reason. Because one of the singles I recognize the name from, the song called Grippy, but even because of him, it's the feature. That being J. Cole. And there was some whack ass lyrics on me from what I heard, which Oh boy, y'all sure you say he won? You say he won from that beef? He's made himself worse. And apparently, he was on a track on Don Toliver's latest album, Hearthstone Cycle, with a track called Attitude, which features, you know, him alongside Charlie Wilson. Yes, that Charlie Wilson. I mean, the reason why I heard of that track because of the Bull Breakdown, because it charted, and yeah, that happened. Again, he has to put the mixtapes. He talks about to make beats using FL Studio and some equipment that he and his mom bought in order to do beats at a young age at his grandma's house, which I figured, you know, you being there, you learn to make beats. I figured some people doing that in the early 2000s, but yeah. Next up is one I have noticed for some time now, that Mexican OT.
Yeah, that name sounded so familiar, but I couldn't tell you where I might have heard it before.
Okay. Originally from Bay City, Texas, he's known for the one single, Johnny Dang, which featured Jordy and, all people, Paul Wall, which, oh shit, I ain't heard him in a while.
That's a name I haven't thought about in ages.
I heard him around last year, because he had a Davis Studio album, but Lone Star Luchador, which came around, you know, last July. He signed Interscope Records, by the way. He said he joined influence from hip hop and Chicano rap. He had a recent album called Texas Technician back in March. So I guess I might look at that since. You know, let's check out like just those two albums. But what I heard from him is like, I heard much of him was like, he could be interesting. I can see some of that. And my damn phone. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I can see why Paul Wall would collab with this guy. This guy is peak Tex-Mex.
All right. Next we got from Boston or. I couldn't do the accent, but y'all would kill me.
Or your somebody neighbor would kill me. From Boston.
From Boston.
You gotta do it better. Okay, anyway, here's Rich Amari. Well, I thought I heard before, but I guess not. Of course, he's a rapper, singer, songwriter, which he does something called plugging B, or basically trap R&B, or just, you know, the plug, that shit. He signed to the label 10K Projects, home to such artists such as Ian Dior, Internet Money, your favorite rapper Ice Spice, give me a say, twice. Apparently, I think 6ix9ine was also signed there once. I don't know if he's still on there, but see. Apparently, one single he has called "One Call" single going viral on TikTok. Yep, charting number 79 on Billboard. That's all I got. Yeah.
I listened to like one of his singles. This dude is a hardcore Future clone.
All right, it's you say Future clone or mention people like Future. Next up, we got somebody from your home state, Rob. Somebody named Bossman D'Lo or D'Lo from Tallahassee.
Ah, yes, the fine capital of Florida. Wait, it's not fine. It's terrible. The state sucks.
Yes, it does. And it's only going to get worse. I hope you're ready for it.
Yeah, he signed Alamo Records, which sounds people like Weefy's Funeral, Smoke Perp, Black Bear. And Little Got It, which I was acquired by Sony Music in 2021, which, okay. Breakout single he got is Getting With Me from his mixtape Too Slippery. That became popular on, well, you figure it out.
Say the his line, Mark.
It became popular on TikTok. Viral on TikTok. Of course, his music was described as motivation music, basically influenced by rappers like Wiz Khalifa, Yo Gotti, Jeezy, Future, Plies, all that shit, has something you call a Michigan meets the South type of party beat, which, okay, that's something I kind of heard two times by some rappers way back, but I don't know, like, okay.
Yeah, so I tried listening to that song, and the only thing I got out of it was, does he rap on the beat at all? Because it seems like he's just kind of going, like, almost like he doesn't know what kind of beat he's rapping over.
Hmm.
That's just me, though.
Well, yeah. All right. I think we got two more left. This one that you should know, because his name has been mentioned a lot, not for good reasons. Four Bats.
Only Four Bats?
No, okay, but anyway, he hails from Dallas, Texas. That was an R&B trap and soul. He's one of those artists. Famous for a song, Act 2, Date at 8. You know the reason why that was notable? It has a remix with Drake. Oh, did I mention that he was signed a recording deal with OVO Sound? It has a mixtape called You Made Me a Star, which was released May 3rd. Guess what happened around that time?
The beef was reaching critical mass.
Yeah. And from what I heard from Four Bats, I heard that mixtape was looking for a certain word. Not good.
Boom.
Yeah. He has another track, Act 3, On God She Like. That's a remix too, with Kanye West.
Oh!
He's making better sense, aren't you?
Something deals with the devil.
And again, you sound the OVO, you better hold your career being one of Drake's ghostwriters.
God, can you imagine if Four Bats of all people wound up being the mole leaking shit to Kendrick? But yeah, I listened to first of all, what the fuck kind of song title is that? Act 2, Date at 8? Did he just pick that out of like his fucking phone calendar or anything? And like, I mean, I guess he's more like one of those kind of R&B singer rapper types, like, kind of from what I was reading, like, the reason that song got popular is because of, like, the reaction content scene was all like, yo, this guy can sing,
but yeah,
the music video's got, like, you know, hard gangster shit going on, or something like that. I don't know, I got nothing out of this.
When the EP came out, he was like, people who actually review shit said that, this is bullshit, what the hell is this? All right. Last one here we got is from Brooklyn or the Bronx. We got Scarlip, which has a name, Scarlip. Of course, she dabbles in drill, and of course, way to the drill. A single of hers got viral on TikTok, and it's called Greasy Gobbler. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, she signed to Epic Records after releasing a breakup single. This is New York. Influences are definitely New York as fuck. Because she got mostly, two of them stuck out. Two of them stick out. One's Cardi B. They what I'm talking about. The two actually mentioned are DMX and Onyx. Which, okay. It's just a show for hardcore aggression, which, okay, that's not something that I would like, considering back then, I love the list of DMX a lot. And even though I know Onyx because of two dudes from Onyx, one being Federal Star, the dude that was, cute from Moesha, and Sticky Fingers, who are best known for either being the Debo Sidekick on Next Friday and a fake ass Blade from Blade the series. Mm. And also, uh, she, she's also, uh, he put up a song called "Take Him Out." A song was something that's from Swizz Beatz, Jadakiss, and Bea the Butcher. Which, okay,
that is certainly a combination of artists.
Okay, and it was on Swizz EP Hip Hop 50 Volume 2, which, okay, you know, Hip Hop 50 Years, you know, on, you know, all that shit. And apparently her upcoming EP will be produced by Swizz, which, I mean, given the DMX influence, which, okay, wonder how that'll turn out.
So, I will say, like I said, I tried to sample at least one song from, like, all these rappers listed, and if there is one that I would want to hear more of, it would be Scarlib, because This Is New York definitely went hard as nails.
And, well, that's the list. Oh, and these are people that, well, people that I probably would keep an eye out for or not. From what I heard, maybe what I at least read. I mean, I know I might keep my eye on Scarlet. Maybe Mexico OT. I might keep an eye on him. There's a lot of people. I wonder who refused to make the cut or just say I want to do it. Cause like there's been one TikTok act that I thought he was going to be in it because his song was blown up everywhere. That dude is Tommy Richmond. Why? Because I hear that one joint $1 million Baby, which. Okay. I'm not gonna lie. The first few times it was kind of catchy. It's short as shit. But okay. I mean, that song been blowing up on my TikTok and the charts too. That's been doing success on the charts too. I mean, wouldn't recognize it because people didn't know about that track and not like us, rather than that one Post Malone Walk 'Em All track that, which, who is listening to that fucking track, by the way? These rappers, artists, singers, whatever they call themselves, because, let's be honest, some of them do be mostly doing R&B shit, and that's fine, because let's forget, Anderson .Paak was a singer. He's on the list, and well, look at him now.
Look at him now.
Yeah, but yeah, we shall see whether these people will be success or not, or unfortunately passed away because they happened way too many times with some of these people. I'm saying look up some people. So that's all I say for this list. And no, I don't know if we're gonna do the Cypress or not, because we didn't do it last time. I just didn't give a shit. If it happens, if not, then yeah.
We shall see what happens. But that about does it for the Double XL list, and now we just have one more thing we got to touch on here, and that is, of course, the new album releases for the week of June 28th, 2024. Starting right here at the top, from Previous Industries, that is the trio of Open Mic Eagle, Still Rift, and Video Dave, we have Service Merchandise. From Boldy James and Conductor Williams, we have the project Across the Tracks. There's a collaboration between Lil Yachty and James Blake called Bad Cameo.
Okay, I will say that's weird, but Lil Yachty has been doing some shit that's not his usual shit, which is more passable shit, but we'll see how that goes.
Right. Let's see. Okay, so there's a new Lupe Fiasco album called Samurai. We have the posthumous Johnny Cash record songwriter. From G-Eazy.
Freak
Show.
Let us never forget the hardest diss I've ever heard. G-Eazy, the White Macklemore.
Ew!
Damn!
From Imagine Dragons, there's the album Loom. From Camila Cabello, there's CXOXO.
Abo X No.
This album's gonna suck.
And at the light at the end of the tunnel, the much anticipated new album from Megan Thee Stallion with Megan.
Now, okay.
Lollapalooza because Tyler had to pull out for some reason.
And now I wonder, what's the anime, what's the sample she's going to use from anime?
Oh, we're going to find out together. It's going to be fun.
Oh, man. That's going to be fun, yeah, but we just have to wait. And it is now time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
This show, my other show, the Discord, other Discords, then the main social channels where I just put stuff up whenever I feel like doing it every day. Sometimes a little late because there's no set schedule because I don't like looking at all the social media stuff. You're all insane! Go out and... Actually, don't go out. It's too hot. Just... I don't know. Pretend your carpet is grassed and touch that.
Fair enough. Mark, what about you?
As usual, on social... Well, okay. Mention me on... Whatever you can find me on Discord or some social media site that I rarely use anymore because I was bored. And also, my site, my hype1.com, where, of course, I've been saying this for the past couple of times now. I'm busy right now doing the time of the season, you know, spring season wrap-up, which hopefully should be up by this week or so, the spring season is winding down, just go with that.
Yep. Cool. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Blue Sky, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, @SurrealReso. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, surrealresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. And of course, be sure to jump into our Discord. That'll be the best place to be immediately notified whenever anything new goes up on the site. And yeah, that's about it. That'll about do it for this week. We'll of course be back next week with more of the usual business. So until then, hey, wait a second. Pym never turned green once in that episode. I call bullshit.